Thank you for joining us for this teaching from the Fellow Laborers International Network.
All right, well, thanks again for the opportunity. I really wanted to look at some of the things of where we are right now. We're certainly in a season that nobody has been in before. I mean, we may have pieces of the pie that we've all experienced. Obviously, nothing is totally new. But the world has never experienced a situation like what we're in right now. There has never been a case like this that where the majority of the world has shut itself down, self-imposed destruction, if you want to call it, shoot themselves in the foot. And I try to get in the situation that we're in, because there's so much information out there and so much misinformation out there. I've tried to get my information firsthand when possible, secondhand when not possible. Most of the stuff I'm getting is firsthand, though. So I talk to people in other countries because I'm in relationship with them. So I know what's going on in India. I know what's going on in Tanzania and other places, you know, Indonesia. I know a little bit of what's being hyped and what's real. Why on earth is a place like Burundi, you know, expected to shut down, or Rwanda or Kenya? And some of those places have shut down, and a couple of them haven't. There's a few in Africa that have stood up and said, forget this. You know, Tanzania and Burundi have kicked the World Health Organization out. The WHO. They said, get out of here. I think it was Tanzania, but one of the presidents told the Bill Gates Foundation, we're not your guinea pigs. Get out of here. And they're starting to stand up. You see the little guy standing up, and it's remarkable. So anyway, I'm going to try to get into some of this. But, you know, as I was preparing for what I felt, knowing that there was so much information, but yet at the same time knowing I wanted to cover this for everybody, the Lord had me go back and listen to the last number of messages we've done this year. Which I normally don't do or get to do. But I was surprised how much of it we've already covered, so I'm not going to recover it. I may refer back to some of those things. But one thing the Lord has brought up to me through this is how much foreknowledge helps us to prepare. Even if we don't recognize it, the Lord is speaking to us. And in Romans 8:4, it talks about the sons of God are led of the Spirit. And going back and listening to some of these messages that we've done here, it's like, I didn't recognize. I knew it was the Lord. I knew it was inspiration, but I had no idea that it was preparing for what was coming that we didn't know was coming. But he did. He knew. Nothing has surprised him ever. Not even Lucifer in the garden didn't surprise him. He had already had plans in effect before that. Not even Lucifer in heaven before there was a garden. None of that has ever surprised him. And so we shouldn't be surprised if he has prepared the way for us if we'll trust in him. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about the keys to pandemic, to overcoming pandemic in the past. And what I want to talk about today to start off with is pandemonium. Remember, we talked about the word pan, where Jesus taught his disciples at the gate of hell, which was the temple to Pan, the god Pan. And we get our word panic. We get our word pandemonium. We get our word pandemic from Pan, because they believed that Pan, the spirit, the god, could send out a cry that would send fear into the enemies, and they would then panic and they would run even when somebody wasn't chasing them. Remember, we shared that, but who would have guessed that we would see that? We see that happening. Panic. The panic is so much worse than the thing that they're trying to scare you with. And it's the reason for that panic and for that pandemonium is to spread fear. That's what the god Pan was trying to do, is spread fear. Because with fear, you can accomplish more. As if you get your enemy to fear, then you could do more to him. During this whole season, I've had a couple themes for myself. One of them is rise and rise again until lambs become lions. That comes from an old book called The Holy Book of Destiny. It also is made famous by the Robin Hood movie from 2010. But I've been saying that to people over and over and over again. And then the other one is arise and shine, not run and hide. Those have been kind of my themes for this season. Now, when this first started, not necessarily the pandemic, but when they were started releasing all the reports and how many, you know, initially, the quote experts, the scientists that they say you can't deny science, right? Quote, But the scientists are denying each other. You can't trust them from one day. If you just listen to the main guy we've been listening to, Anthony Fauci, he has contradicted himself so many times. And yet at the same time, if you're not believing what he's saying right now, then somehow you're denying science. No, I'm denying his. We should be able to trust in the Lord. And one thing it says in Hebrews is if we grow in the Lord and by reason of use, we learn to discern good and evil. And one of the things we're going to talk about, and we should be paying attention to here, is, okay, in the garden there was two trees. One of them was the knowledge of good and evil, and the other was the tree of life. And when it comes down to dealing with things on the earth, Jesus is the tree of life. But we have to deal many times with the tree of knowledge of good and evil because that tree has been eaten from. Right? And so when you go to the voting booth and vote, you're not voting for the tree of life. You're asking the tree of life to inform you, but you're not going to have perfect choices. And you're going to have to be able to discern between good and evil. Right? And so that's a lot of what we're dealing with right now is the tree of you have to discern between good and evil. We have to know where would the Lord lead us? Because if we're going to go with at least with what's good, then we have more of an opportunity to release the tree of life to people, right? We're not joining with evil. We're not agreeing with evil, which is something we don't want to do. And fear will open the door for us to, whether we intend to or not, will have us agreeing with evil.
Amen.
Amen. And that fear opens that door. So we want to rise and shine and not run and hide. And you can read Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2, 1, 2 and 3, where it talks about darkness, deep darkness on the face of the earth. But you will rise and shine, and the glory of the Lord will be upon you, and nations will come to your rising. And that's the choice we're being given. But at the time when this first was being released about all these millions of people were going to die in America, I was like shocked. I had to deal with the fear too. I'm like, what? You know, the shock of what they were saying, knowing history and knowing what happened, like say in the Spanish flu and so on. So I went to the Lord and I said, what's going on? And I actually got a glimpse of, he showed me what was going on globally, okay? I was talking about with countries shutting down. We've never seen this before. Entire nations, boom, 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 like dominoes, just making this decision, like somebody was in charge telling them to do this. That's what was getting me. And he began to show me some of this with the deep state and with the one world government attempting to move itself and the Chinese communists attempting to take their place where they believe they should be as the leader of the world. And it was kind of scary. I will use that word, that I was shocked and a little scared. And I said, okay, enough. I don't want to see any more of that. Now, what are you going to do through this? And that was much more encouraging. I want to stick with that mostly tonight. But we have to deal with some of those other things. But I don't want to have to revisit that initial one until maybe if we get towards December of this year. So I'll recheck with the Lord where we are. And if I need to, I'll get a refresher on that. But I didn't really want to spend too much time there because that was one potential. That was what people were doing. That's what people in authority and power behind the scenes were trying to accomplish. That doesn't mean that's what's going to be accomplished. That's why I didn't want to go there too much. You see what I'm saying? Because I didn't want to spend a lot of time scaring myself. And in Revelation, it talks about people who spend too much time in the deep things of Satan. Paul said we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices, but we don't want to spend too much time in the deep things of Satan. It sidetracks us. And there's a lot of good spiritual people, but get sidetracked into that stuff. Sure. You see, we don't want to get sidetracked. We want to spend time with the Lord. Even the book of Revelation, if you look at it from one perspective, it's kind of scary, but it starts off by saying this is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're reading the book of Revelation and you're getting a different kind of input, then you're not reading it correctly. Amen? Put it aside and read the book of John for a while. But see, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a revelation of the Antichrist. Well, I don't want to get off on that because the Antichrist is not even mentioned in the book of Revelation. But anyway, but faith strengthens our immune system and fear weakens it. So just from the fact of looking at the health standards, we ought to be not afraid, right? We ought to be standing up and standing with the Lord. That God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, 1 Timothy 1:7. And yet, even though I dealt with the fear initially, and I admit that I had to deal with it, it was a shock. It was like when I heard those things, then when the Lord showed me some things, that scared me too. All right, but then I had to deal with it. But having dealt with it, All right, and gotten a lot of flack from people who were in it. Because I wasn't, I'd gotten out of it, okay? And I was walking not in fear, so I got accused of, it was like people were wanted to call the police and say, that person's not living in fear. There's something wrong here. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that, but that's sort of what's been, what's going on in some respect. That's a little extreme example, but it's what's been going, what has been going on. So I'm taking the fear seriously, especially how it's affecting other people. I'm trying to be compassionate, but also knowing that that's not helping them. You see what I'm saying? And even now, months into this, there are people in terror hiding away. And so it's wrong that they're there because there's nothing out there to be that afraid of. But I'm not saying they're not afraid. What I'm saying is we need to pray for those folks. We need to get past this. But that spirit has gone out. That spirit has terrorized people in their hearts. And it talks about that in Scripture, that in the last days you see men's heart will fail them for fear. And there will be people that will run when no one is pursuing them. So these things are happening. And we should be the light and the glory that people can come to because of who lives in us and dwells in us, right? Pandemonium, the pandemonium we're dealing with is much worse than the pandemic we're dealing with.
Amen.
Amen. And the pandemic itself, as we even at the early stages, it looked like it wasn't going to be as bad as a bad flu year. And that's the case so far, okay? It's not as bad. Now, that doesn't mean it couldn't have been much worse, but the fact is that the fear and the lies about it and the concerns about it and the words that have been released, all their scientific models so far have been wrong. You know, initially when they were scientifically saying, oh no, the president was wrong for shutting off the flights from China, they were wrong. And then later they said, well, masks don't help. And then they say, now you have to wear them. They were wrong on both of those cases. Right? And then when they said there was going to be up to 3 million people in America died, they were wrong. Those were scientists saying those things. You see what I'm saying? The Lord is the one we ought to be trusting, and we ought to be able to look to Him. So the political cure has been worse than the medical disease. Now, I said that early on because I heard it from the Lord. And I had friends, even prophets. One good friend that you all know got a hold of me and said, you're going to be responsible for millions of people dying because people listen to what you're saying. And I'm like, I'm not going to be responsible for millions of people dying. And even if I was wrong in what I was saying, I still wouldn't be responsible because people are responsible for their own beliefs.
Right?
You have to make your own choices. And I have through this whole thing been very kind to people who are dealing with different stages, let's say, than where I was. Because you want to help people. You don't want to condemn people. You don't want to put people down. On the other hand, I haven't been afraid to point out where these other folks have been wrong. Personally, somebody who's making a six-figure income that's secure should never be allowed to tell other people they can't work.
Amen.
Somebody who's making a six-figure secure income should never be able to take a woman who's trying to work to feed her family and say that you're selfish for going to work. That's that whole liberal socialist mindset that you have to do what I tell you, but I don't have to do it. Do what I tell you to do, but I'm going to do something different, right? So anyway, those are the kind of things we have to deal with. So in Proverbs 3:25, it says, don't be afraid of sudden fear or sudden terror. And we talked about this before, different kinds of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a different Hebrew word, but the point is that's a good fear, to have that kind of respect and awe for Him. But then there's that fear that makes you run when no one pursues. But then there's that sudden fear. That's where you're walking through the woods and you get this feeling up the back hair on the back of your neck goes up. Take that seriously. You're going past an alleyway at night, you know, and take that seriously. That's your, some people call it the sixth sense or not, but that could very well be what God put inside of you to warn you about what you can't see, but something's being said. It could be a grizzly bear. If it's the alleyway, it's not the grizzly bear. It could be some other kind of beast. You know what I'm saying? A human varmint. But that kind of thing, but what you don't do is let that initial sudden fear become an overwhelming fear. We have to be anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Because being anxious is a way in which we open the door for the devil to come and disarm us, right?
Yeah.
And to bring these things in. So God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7 we said, but also it says perfect love casts out fear. So there's something you can do instead. It's not like, well, I'm just not going to be afraid. So that's a good start, but you replace it with something else. Perfect love casts out fear, and knowing that the Lord hasn't given us that spirit of fear. You know, the story of Goliath in 2 Kings. All of Israel was afraid. Remember, but David came in, and one of the reasons he wasn't afraid was, he, unlike the others, he wasn't comparing himself to Goliath. He was comparing Goliath to his God, right? And then not only that, but he had been prepared by the Lord, because after Samuel poured anointing oil on him and anointed him as king, he didn't go out and say, everybody, okay, now I'm king, everybody bow down. He went back to his sheep and practiced. You see, he practiced being king with the sheep. The sheep treated him the same, but the bears and the lions learned he had a different anointing. So he practiced on bears and lions so that when he had to go up against the giant, he was able to deal with it. You see what I'm saying? So the Lord actually prepares us for these things if we'll pay attention. One thing I've heard Rick Joyner say through this whole season, I've heard him say it a number of times, is that if you're prepared, you'll prosper no matter the season. And I thought that was really good. And that reminds me of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3, where it says that the wise man sees what's coming and prepares, but the fool goes on and is punished. Obviously, the fool watches TV and listens to those people and believes them. But anyway, there's another good one in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27, where they were fighting against the king of Jericho, and they were winning. The children of Israel were winning against him. But then what he did was he sacrificed his son, his firstborn son that was going to rule, and that sacrifice released something. And it says, a great wrath came against Israel, and they departed from him, and they returned to their houses. It doesn't even say what the wrath was, but see, there's something spiritual that can be sent that can actually affect even good people. And can even turn you from victory. So we need to take these things seriously, but recognize we don't wrestle as the world does. We don't war as the world wars, right? Now, I just want to mention the season that we're in. This was, well, a lot of things got shut down. And we mentioned that. The whole world, there were so many things shut down. Now, not every place shut down, not every church shut down, but almost everyone was told to shut down. And the interesting thing was the Passover fell in the middle of this. And really, this was the first Passover in 2,000 years that the church observed it, not by watching it, but by participating in it. Because we were all home on Passover. Many of us had even, it was kind of a movement, put red over our doors, whether it was actually a marker, was it actually a paint, or was it actually a cloth of some kind. I used duct tape because that was actually a cloth. And the point is that, and then there was even a movement I participated in that to blow shofars around the world at the same time at sunset in Jerusalem time, which was 10 a.m. here. And so the shofars were being blown all around the world, which was kind of a neat thing. We participated in it. And the interesting thing about this Passover that hasn't happened really since the Passover with Moses is after the Passover, people started crying out, "Let my people go." And they've been saying that ever since, you know. So it's kind of neat that we join in with that. Now, after that was Easter, and that's a little different. There was a lot of people that participated in Easter regardless of it. And some people reopened, some churches reopened. A lot didn't, but a lot did, you know. And so I think that that's really important that we pay attention. There are things happening. And many times we don't know the fullness of those things until later. But that doesn't mean we can't take note. You see what I'm saying? Take note. And the thing about social distancing, I still talk, seems like it's a new thing. Never used that term before. But for me, social distancing has been through this whole thing to use the shield of faith to protect ourselves from people with unbelief and keep them at a distance. You see, I don't need that affecting me or infecting me. You see what I'm saying? And when they come down and say, "Oh, you know, you're going to get these people killed," I'm like, I'll deal with them, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time with them. You see what I'm saying? They're going to have to work through that. Unless they want to listen to what I have to say. Now, I want to help focus. We need to start recognizing as the church, especially here in America, but probably around the world. And I can't tell you how many people around the world I talk to that are seriously, seriously getting from the Lord to be praying for our president and to be praying for our country and for our nation, because they recognize we're in a spiritual battle, and they recognize that if America can pull ahead in this, it's going to benefit the body of Christ around the world. A lot of people in America don't recognize that yet, but I think we need to come to that place. But we're in a war. I've mentioned this before. China has declared war on us, but we haven't declared war on China. The president has more and more talked about the invisible war, and he's let us believe it's talking about the virus. But then he said he has said things like, this attack on our country has killed more people than 9/11 or Pearl Harbor. So he's bringing it into real warfare. He doesn't want to come right out, although he has talked about China and they're responsible for all this. But one of the reasons they can't right come out and say, let's declare war on China, is because they still are so entwined in so many of the things that we know we need. Until he can bring those things back. And let's face it, he's been saying these things that for many years, but certainly as somebody that was running for president and then became president, as soon as he started his campaign, he began to talk about this, right? And even now, we have a choice, because what we have right now is to talk about the political parties is not to talk about politics anymore. Because the left has become flat evil, and they are enemies of truth. And you'll see, even when we talk about the issues here in a minute with the governors, that the ones on the right and the Republicans, they have made mistakes also. The difference is they've learned from their mistakes and tried to do the right thing, the good thing, as opposed to the evil thing. And they're not taking the side against the people of America and against the church like they are, like the people on the left are joining with China. All right? So we need to understand that. Well, in a war, you fight for your country or you fight for your kingdom. That's in the war. But in a battle, you fight for the people in the foxhole next to you. Anybody that's been in war knows you fight for your brothers, right? So you need to know your company. And one thing through this whole thing is if you got to figure out who your company is. In my sense, I have local, and then I have more extended like that goes out. But I got to know the people I can trust. And a lot of that, who trusts you and who sows into you, who backs you up, who covers your back. And one thing you find out in a situation like this, when a shaking comes, cracks show themselves, right? And you got to pay attention to those things. I'm sure we've all seen a little cracks in relationship. Pay attention to those kind of things, because you're learning who your company is. During a shaking, that's when you see the fault lines. One of the main fault lines I've seen in relationships with people, and not only people, not too much with people I'm in direct relationship with, but people I'm loosely in relationship with, is the accuser of the brethren. I'm astounded how much the accuser of the brethren was loosed against certain pastors that stood up for what was right and said, no, we're going to go ahead and do social distancing. We're going to take care of our people. But we're going to meet, because that's what the Bible says we're going to do. And then when the police come against them, totally political as it turns out, but how many Christians voiced opposition and took the side of the enemy against those Christian leaders? It's ridiculous. And so that's the accuser of the brethren. You got to pay attention to those things. That happened with Gideon, when he went down to the river. Remember when the Lord said to him, you've got too many still to go up against the Midianites. Too many? Yeah, go down to the river. And they went down the river, and every time he got fewer and fewer until he's down to 300. Each one of those times, you got to find out which ones you need to distance yourself from a little bit. Where are the fault lines? So, Xi Jinping, the premier of the Communist Party, is orchestrating an attempted overtake of the world systems right now. Okay, and there's spiritual forces behind it. One reason I don't know that they chose this time, meaning releasing the virus from the lab on purpose. It definitely was released from a lab. They definitely were in there working on it. Whether they chose that to do it on purpose or if it leaked on its own and then they just took advantage of it, I guess time will tell. But what we do know is they have taken advantage of it from the second it was released. And we talked about this before, but one of the first things they did was they locked everything down in order to stop the protests, the freedom protests in Hong Kong, because everything they'd been doing for months and months and months was not working. And so when this virus was released, first thing they did was start locking down their cities, okay? Locking down everybody, whether you're sick or not. And then after a time, okay, then first thing that happened was they stopped the riots in Hong Kong. And most people don't know that these riots had spread to Wuhan. And Wuhan is where the riots started years ago that ended the last dynasty in China. So there's something in the water there that they were worried about. So when this got released, they definitely took advantage of it. And some of the first things they did after locking it down was started arresting the people who were warning the rest of the world, because they were saying, not a big deal, blah, 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 blah. And the doctors that were releasing this, some of them gave their lives. Some of them have disappeared and we haven't heard from them since. That was the first thing they did. And then they did was they let people out of Wuhan, but not to the rest of China, with the exception of Hong Kong, where they wanted to lock things down. But they let them go to the rest of the world. And that's how they seeded this virus to the rest of the world, as at the same time they were lying about it and what was going on. And at the same time, they were making preparations because they knew what to expect. So they were buying up personal protective gear and so on from around the world. And they were bringing that back to China. They got respirators donated to them from Italy that later they sold back to Italy. Not gave, but sold those same respirators back to Italy so they could make a profit. Is this the kind of spirit you want running the world? Anyway, that's what we got. So that's what's going on. So they were doing that kind of stuff. Our president has come right out and said, look, we got to bring all these things, medical, all the military stuff, all this high-tech stuff needs to come back from China. We're going to bring it back here. What he did was, you know, in going to India, now this hasn't come out officially, but I know when he went to India, he was going there in part to get started on a different relationship with a different country. But the other thing we know he was doing was going over there because that's where hydroxychloroquine is made, and they don't ship it out mostly. And he went and made a deal with them and brought back, this is before it was ever known by anybody about it, he bought like 90 million doses of it and brought it back to America. How can a medicine become political? But when you're evil and all you care about is power, then everything's political. But many lives have been saved, and even people on the other side have given credit to the president for bringing that to America and making it available. He's not a doctor, but he's not dumb. Right. And he has made so many moves that have helped us. Oh, open borders, all that stuff that he's been standing for has been good for us. Now, this is the Chinese year of the rat. Now, I kind of joke, for America, it's the year of the raccoon. So raccoon wears a mask and washes his hands all the time. But the Chinese year of the rat, and remember, some of the outbreaks happened because the left were so adamant against what the president was doing that they went out and said, come celebrate the Chinese New Year. And we know now that those are some of the hot spots, you know. And the interesting thing is Dr. Fauci, who has been, you know, he's the head of the, what's the name of the thing he's head of? No, he's not head of the WHO, but he's certainly in their pocket. I wrote it down here, but I don't have it in front of me. That's the trouble with notes. They can't always find what it's right in front of your nose. But anyway, so Fauci's in charge of the virology and so on in Washington D.C. But he's a bureaucrat. He's been in that same job since Ronald Reagan. Okay. And he may be good at what he does, but he's also invested in coronaviruses. And if nothing else, when he got on the national stage, the first thing he should have done, just to be honest, was to let the American people that he has been, he was the one that decided to send almost $4 million to the Wuhan viral laboratory to study coronaviruses. And if nothing else, for the full disclosure, he should have let us know that we shouldn't have to find that out. And that he owns patents and so on and things that he'll make a lot of money on different things with the coronavirus. But anyway, I'm with Jeremiah Johnson on the dream that he had where he saw Fauci in the White House and then Fauci turned into a rat. It may not be personally about him, but there's something about the rat. I thought it was interesting that the head of the health in New York City, little Chinese lady. Well, she was one of the ones that was right up there saying, oh, you know, you got to come out and celebrate the Chinese New Year and get involved in the party. And now here they have they have the worst outbreak in the country even to this day. And the police are saying, we need more PPE. And she literally came out and said, I don't give a rat's tail about the police. I mean, this is somebody that's supposed to be a leader, supposed to be in charge of health. But I thought it's just, I couldn't pass up mentioning that, how many times the rat has come up in the year of the rat, you know, with this whole thing from China. Well, anyway, the Institute for Health. Fauci's is the head of the Institute for Health in Washington, D.C. Okay, this virus is more easily spread. It's more contagious than the flu, but it's less deadly than the flu. In fact, at this point in time, we said it early on, that it was mostly deadly to the elderly, a little bit more towards men, very, very not a threat towards young kids. I think in this whole thing, there's only been 12, I think I read, lower than 8 years old, where a normal flu would have taken out more than 800 by this point, okay, of less than 8 years old. Anyway, it is a manufactured crisis. I don't, whether or not the virus was manufactured or whether or not it was released on purpose, we certainly know it was being studied and it was being worked on, all that. But the crisis is being manufactured. I think most people will come to that conclusion eventually. And China is certainly complicit, if not actually behind it. And that has to, there's never been a time when the world has been ready to follow some leadership against something like that. In other words, the world is actually looking for some leadership. China wants to be that leader, but everybody's angry at them pretty much right now. So it's a very good opportunity, but we're so divided. I won't go into it, but remember the dream I had with the American eagle with one wing that wasn't working, whereas the big Chinese dragon was trying to come in. But the dragon was more powerful, but it was still afraid, knowing that if that eagle were to strike it, one good strike in the head, that'd be the end of it. And that's really where we are with what's going on right now. Now, one of the interesting things about this year, and I'll point it out, but my word for this year, I was speaking on all last year, was 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you'll shall prosper. So I'll get back to that. But a good friend of mine, his wife had a word in January, or she had a vision in January. She saw an upside down 20, and it took him a while to figure it out. But then he realized what the Lord was saying is the thing is going to get turned upside down in 2020. And we've seen that. You see that in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 and on, where it says, when you take that which is evil and call it good, and take that which is good and call it evil. Now, we dealt with that all through the Obama administration. I thought we were past that, but the principalities and powers that have been unseated are not giving up their authority without a fight. You got to give the devil credit for one thing. He doesn't give up easily, okay? So we got to keep diligent. We got to keep going on this. When I was seeing that vision of what the Lord was showing me that was going on and what his desire. Look, the Lord is fighting to save this nation. Christians ought to join him.
Amen.
But I saw it as walking on a knife edge of a mountain ridge. And it was steep off. If you look either side, it's scary. I mean, when I looked down, it was like terrifying. On the other hand, the view's not so bad if you just keep looking ahead. So keep your eye on the view. But let's not deny, we are walking on a knife edge. And if we lean too far to the left or the right, we could be, it'd be a long road down. You see what I'm saying? It'd be a long way for us to pick ourselves back up and move on. Okay, so we need to see that. I call this the socialist virus because it's given us a real nice opportunity to see what socialism is like or would be like. It's also our opportunity to get a good experience of the Green New Deal, tyranny, and the accuser of the brethren. We're getting a taste of all those things, a police state. Now we got a little taste of it. We don't know what that's like in America, China, and Russia, and a lot of other places. They know what that could be like, but we haven't had a good taste of it. We're getting a taste of it. I'm really encouraged by some things, though. Some things have happened immediately. Immediately when the governors of certain states started to overstep their bounds, immediately they were hit with lawsuits, like by the Gun Owners of America and the Second Amendment Foundation, and some of those groups were saying, no, you can't shut down gun stores. That's the Second Amendment, blah, blah, blah. If the church had stood up like that, then it would be the same for churches, but we didn't do it. But let me read you the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, or to petition their government for a redress of grievances. The way the left is saying that, well, yeah, you can petition your government, you just can't do it in person. You got to do it online, which, of course, they are censoring. So they want you to do it online so they can censor it. That's not what the Constitution says. And the interesting thing, the only one of that whole list, the only thing they haven't come down on is what they call the freedom of the press. And those in the, quote, press are attacking all the rest of the rights that are listed in the First Amendment. And what's the press? The press is an old wooden thing that you'd put ink in and you'd print out a piece of paper and you'd, you know, that would be your newspaper. And you did that again and again and again. We got our Constitution like that. The Declaration of Independence was done like that. So the freedom of the press is, it's an old wooden press. So the same people who are saying that press means the media and the internet and the televisions and the people who are journalists, it protects all them, are the same people that say, well, the Second Amendment is only for muskets. The freedom of the press means everything that's necessary to get those words out, just like the freedom of the Second Amendment means anything you need to do to protect yourself and your country. That includes protecting your family, but it's about your country. Anyway, so what about the whole rest of that? So some of us have screamed about that from the beginning. Wait a minute. You can't tell us when to meet and when not to meet. Now, we may make a decision to meet or not to meet. That's our decision. But you, Governor, can't tell us what to do. Matter of fact, and I mean this literally, I don't mean this figuratively, we could have saved 50%, minimum 50% of the deaths we've had in America because of this virus if we just would have quarantined the governor of New York and the mayor of New York. Seriously, I mean that literally. If we just would have quarantined those two men and let people make their own decisions, we would have saved at least 50%. At least, okay, if you think I'm exaggerating, taking a third of the deaths, okay? But a lot of people wouldn't have had to die if they hadn't made those decisions. And yet they tried, especially the governor of New York, they're trying to make him, it's like when they listen to Herod in the book of Acts, it sounds like the voice of a god. Same thing they did with Obama. Oh, this guy needs to be president. That guy shouldn't be dog catcher. Your dogs will die. But anyway, so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day of Christ approaching. I can't tell you how many times when I've defended the right to come together as the church that I've had people, even pastors say, well, you don't have to do that. You can do this. You can. That's fine. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm saying I have to have the right to do that. And I can't tell you how many other people have said, well, I haven't gone to church in so many years. But then they want me to take them serious on what they have to say about people who go to church may not be as spiritual as them. I believe whether I come to a building, the church is not the building. The church is us being built together. And how am I going to build that if I don't see you? I got to get together at some point with my company. You see, I got to have people that I'm building relationship with, and that's why I've fought for this, you know, all along. This is our right, and you can't find a time in our history during the Spanish pandemic, which we had millions of people die in the United States. Our own city lost over 200 people when we were I can't find it exactly, but I'm going to guess we're about the tenth of the size that we are now. The whole state of Montana has only lost 18 people, and even that wasn't only to this virus. It's just they died from something else and had it. So they count it because they get more money from it, right? So it inflates the numbers. But the point is that even during that Spanish pandemic, I can only find two cases of where two cities for a short time asked churches not to meet. And that was a real pandemic, not a pandemonium. You see what I'm saying? Yep. Wow. So anyway, we need to start taking this seriously. And why have we given up our rights so quickly? And we should never do it again. Now, sometimes people say, well, if our forefathers were alive now, they'd be doing this or they'd be doing that. Let me tell you a little history lesson. I always celebrate, April 19th. We call it Patriots Day now, but that's the day of the shot heard around the world, And that's when the British marched on Lexington and conquered, right? And they were ready for them. But how come they were ready for them? We don't mostly know this, but there's something known as the powder alarm, which happened on September 1st, 1774. And that's where several hundred redcoats raided the powder magazine at Charleston, Massachusetts. And they came in and took all the powder, and the militia showed up, but there was no shots fired, and they were like, what's going on? In other words, they got away with it. We don't know about that. We know about April 19th when they shot back. My point is that even our forefathers had to learn. They said what they said when it happened the first time was, we're never going to let this happen again. And they learned from that. That same thing that happened in April 19th in Massachusetts, the same thing happened in Virginia on April 20th, where they marched into Williamsburg to take the powder. But Patrick Henry was there with the militia and stopped them. Now, Patrick Henry hadn't heard from John Adams or Samuel Adams because they didn't have a way to communicate that quickly from Massachusetts to Virginia overnight. The reason Patrick Henry was ready on April 20th was because of what happened on September 1st. So we should learn from this, because this is going to happen again. One way I know it's going to happen again, I'm talking about the overreach of power, is because the ones that have enjoyed it so much, I've got a taste of it. Never, they said it three or four or five times at the beginning. You hear different people say, never let a crisis go to waste. Well, you know what? God doesn't let crisis go to waste either. God will use crisis to bring true change to his people. That's why it says crisis comes first to the household of God. It helps get us ready for change. Amen? Things that we maybe wouldn't have done otherwise. Well, anyway, another encouraging thing was how quickly, like for instance, the Liberty Council and American Center for Law and Justice immediately jumped into action when different pastors were either arrested or told they couldn't meet or things like that, and jumped into action, took up to court, and in each case won or went to the next level and won. In all these cases, almost all these cases of the First and Second Amendment, they have won. Now, there's a few cases where you have these demagogues as governors that still won't back down, but hey, we can learn from that. The people of those states need to learn from that. What has been encouraging is that President Trump has not pushed forward in taking over constitutional authority. Remember, they said to begin with, Dr. Fauci said, give us 2 weeks to flatten the curve. My dad used to say, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Because 2 weeks to flatten the curve all has turned into 2 months. And some places, they don't want to end it. Places where they gave up their right to meet as a church for 2 weeks, now they're talking about going into June, July. One state says they won't be able to meet for a year. Well, who's going to stand for that? I wouldn't, but maybe there's others that will. This is a dress rehearsal for other things. Remember, I talked about the prophetic word about a time of martial law. But it depended on who the marshal was, whether it was going to be good or bad. Now, our Constitution does not allow for martial law. So in every place where they're having people locked in their homes, which is basically house arrest, it's unconstitutional. What's crazy, though, and why you know it's not about health, is because they're locking people in house arrest and taking prisoners that have been put in prison because of the legal system and releasing them. And they're willing to take someone who goes back to work and throw them in jail, but take somebody that's in jail that has murdered or raped and release them. So you know it's not about health, it's about power, okay? And our forefathers said, rebellion against tyranny is obedience to God. And that should be in the DNA of every Christian. Well, it should certainly every American Christian, but really every Christian too. Interesting thing is, our forefathers, numbers of them said that out of Jeremiah 17:9, said that verse that says the heart is above all things deceitful, is why they, for the first time in the history of the world, put something called separation of powers. You had different powers. Now, the different powers, like the judicial and the legislative and the executive, that came from other places. It came out of the Bible. They'd also seen examples of it, like, say, in Britain. But there had never been a country where you had separate but equal. Like, for instance, in countries where they had kings, the king was over it. He could change the judge. As a matter of fact, we've heard many stories in countries where the judges were corrupt because they had to stick with his politics. But in our country, you had different branches, and each of them was separate, so the one could balance the other. And our forefathers, numbers of our forefathers used that verse as why they decided to do it, because they thought, well, maybe if we do it that way, and we know that power corrupts, but if we do it that way, not all the branches of government will be corrupt at the same time, and one can counter the other. And we're seeing some of that. We actually have the federal government, through the Attorney General, coming down on some of the states and saying, you have overstepped people's freedom of religion, or overstepped their right to assemble. There's no pandemic exception in the Constitution. A number of people have said that, including our Attorney General. Isn't that refreshing? How wonderful is that? Well, I'm going to keep going here, try to cover this, and I'll stop when we need to stop. But anyway, I was praying, and I was asking the Lord, look, I want to know if the things I've been sharing over the last year and so on, are they valid? I mean, we're in a different change. We're in a season of change. I mean, the things I've been sharing, are they still valid now? Were they valid then? Those are the kind of things that just to humbly ask the Lord. And first thing he said was, what have you given away since this started? And I said, well, first thing we gave away, Purell hand cleaner. Toilet paper, antibacterial wipes, immune boosters, ammunition. We gave that stuff away. And he said, well, that stuff was priceless. What he meant by that was you couldn't buy it even if you had money. You see what I'm saying? Certain calibers of ammunition. You couldn't. So the reason it was priceless was because you couldn't get it. And the reason I was able to give it was because I had it. But also the reason I was able to give it was because I wasn't afraid of I was going to run out of it. In other words, I knew that the Lord had prepared, just like, you know, Joseph, so you could help others that had a need. Then I thought of Genesis 26, where Isaac sowed in times of famine and reaped a hundredfold reward. Now's a great time to be getting involved in giving. The Bible says we should work, in Ephesians, that we should work so that we have to give to him that has a need. So in other words, the Lord had prepared, so we were able to give. And then I had just prayed this, and that's what he said to me. Then I went down, I was doing my exercise, and I turned on a message by Lance Woolnow and Mario Murillo, and they were talking about things. And Lance Woolnow says, we have to take serious the spirit of Diotrephes. Now, some of you may never heard about that, but all last year I was teaching on it, and I had three different articles published on that. We have to take serious the spirit of Diotrephes, because that's what we see going on here. The spirit that loves preeminence. And you see that working through these governors. You see that working through some of these neighbors. We need to pay attention. He's going to start referring back to my articles that I'd written. Like, oh, there's an answer to my prayer about whether I was sharing what should be shared. And then he went on. The next thing he said was, and you pastors, you need to pay attention to what you've been sharing. Because if it's not valid now, then it wasn't valid when you shared it. And I'm like, that was the double answer to my prayers. So I got really blessed by that. Okay. So we need to take this serious, that the spirit of preeminence, and we need to know that we're supposed to not get under that spirit of preeminence, right? That spirit that wants preeminence, that wants to dominate. And what does it say in Revelation when it talks about the spirit that wants to dominate? It talks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, that he uses the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and Nikos means conquer, and laity means the people. So that spirit that wants preeminence uses the doctrine to conquer the people. And what do you see happening? You don't have any rights. The governor of New Jersey, when they questioned him, what did you consider the Bill of Rights when you made all these executive decisions? Well, he says, that's above my pay grade. And he thought that was funny. I don't think that's so funny. If his job is to, first and foremost, that he swears to uphold the Constitution, then he ought to take the civil rights of people seriously. You know what I'm saying? So I take that very seriously when he jokes about it, and so I hope the people of his state do. But when the law demands what God denies, we must obey God rather than men. And when the law denies what God demands, we must obey God rather than men. And I've seen so much of the dynamic that's going on right now is where do you fall on Romans 13? You know, be subject to the higher powers. And what was written before that, which is in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And a lot of that has come down with how do you interpret Romans 13. And it says right there in Romans 13 that the godly magistrate who has authority will not punish the evildoer, will punish the evildoer and will reward the one that does good. So if we enter into Isaiah chapter 5 where it's flipped, are you supposed to submit to that? No. I think in the spirit you submit to it and say, yeah, I recognize your authority, like Peter did. Yeah, I recognize your authority, Sanhedrin. But I'm going to obey God rather than men. And one of the interesting things about this is Jesus said we were going to have to do that. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 11, he says, now when they bring you before the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, don't worry. He didn't say if, he said when. So he was expecting that Christians were going to stand up and civilly disobey ungodly leaders. That's in red. That's part of your manual for being a Christian. See what I'm saying? This is a training for us. I actually brought this up years ago at the Pastors Association here in Missoula, and it was like they were saying, Lord, you know, this is crazy. You're getting into politics, you know, and it's like, you know, we have to submit and all this stuff. And the very next, 2 days later after we met, was when the city council released the whole thing about they were going to give special treatment to the LGBT and they were going to change the bathrooms and all stuff. So the next time we met, the same people were saying, Lord, you're getting into politics. I'm not coming back. We're saying, Lord, you need to do something. Well, we did do something. But anyway, the point is that things change when the times change and the perspectives change. Amen? But this is a dress rehearsal for us, and we need to get ready. But we need to keep in mind we're in a war, and wartime people should be thinking differently and acting differently. Does that make sense? In Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Faith, right? Mm-hmm. The Hall of Fame of Faith. If you read that list, starting with Moses on, every single miracle happened because somebody stood up against an ungodly ruler. Every single miracle from Moses on in Hebrews 11, okay? So anyway, we need to understand how to deal with magistrates. Paul was always going up against magistrates. That was part of his calling. God said, I've called you to stand before kings and magistrates. We are supposed to do that. Let me read this to you from Calvin Coolidge, our president at the turn of the century there. Unless bureaucracy is consistently resisted, it breaks down representative government and overwhelms democracy. It sets up the pretense of having authority over everybody and being responsible to nobody. And being irresponsible, they become autocratic. So it's not like these things haven't happened before, but we're seeing it at a different scale. And if you're in the army, you got to need to know how to fight. Obviously, the weapons of our warfare are different, but we need to know how to stand up against those things. Sometimes a government wants to do something just to say they can do something, and sometimes when they do those things, it's more harmful than if they just left it alone. If we had more leaders that just knew how to back up and pray, we'd be probably better off. Amen? Yeah. So, Isaiah chapter 24, verse 21 says this, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of the exalted ones and on the earth the kings of the earth. In other words, those that have raised themselves up into places where they shouldn't be. So I think we should expect that. We should expect to learn from this. And as we change our prayers and focus our prayers, we're going to see these people that have walked and moved in the spirit of Diotrephes that wants the preeminence, we're going to see them be replaced with people who want to serve the people. Amen. So anyway, you see all this stuff. You see the censorship and the many tyrants rising themselves up. I was encouraged because we've gotten a taste of the police state, which is not constitutional. But I was encouraged here recently. One sheriff stood up to the governor and said, we are not stormtroopers, we are peace officers. Now, I have pointed out a number of times the difference between a law enforcement and peace officer. There's a difference. Law enforcement goes out and enforces the laws. And you know what? There are so many laws Like Hoover said, there are so many laws on the books. He said this in the 60s, that if we want to, we could find a law to arrest any male in the United States of America. Well, now it's changed. They could arrest any human in the United States of America and find some law. General Flynn found out about that. He hadn't broken any laws. He wasn't doing anything criminal, but they still were able to get him in this whole system that has put him in this system for years and cost him millions, because they can just keep printing the money. You can't. So anyway, a police officer is someone who helps keep the peace. Remember Andy Griffith's show? He just kept the peace. If you weren't doing something to break the peace, you know what? That's the way it is. It's we the people are the rulers of this country, not we the government or we the stormtrooper. And so when we switch to law enforcement, we switch something that they see it differently, that they just got to enforce every little thing. So maybe there's a shift taking place to go back to what we were used to and what we ought to have, which is keeping the peace, which is what they really ought to do. Remember, to serve and protect is a whole different thing than to enforce every little thing. If we would follow the examples of like South Dakota and Sweden, we would have been way better off than if we followed the example of China. And that's what happened, was China was advising the rest of the world on here, this is how you had to do it. Let that be our last Chinese export or import to our country. Let it be the last thing we import from them is this totalitarianism. Amen. One thing I was joking about we did import from China was underground churches. Because a lot of churches said, forget you, government. We have a First Amendment. Those who give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither, is what Ben Franklin said. And he and Jefferson and all of those guys said, rebellion against tyranny is obedience to God. That's our job, is to stand up, to speak truth to error, to speak truth to evil. Amen. And I just want to end by talking a little bit about foreknowledge. I was thinking about Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War, okay? He was Chinese, and the Chinese definitely know The Art of War. I know the president does too, because in business they use it too. But Sun Tzu said, what enables the wise sovereign and the good general to strike and to conquer and to achieve things beyond the reach of ordinary men is foreknowledge. Now, I've always used that as a good quote for someone that's got the spirit that can hear from God things to come. And as I've mentioned, when I went back and listened to the things from the last number of months, I was surprised how many things that were just unctions that I'd been sharing were actually turned out to be foreknowledge. But I didn't know it at the time that they were. But by making decisions based on those things, it's helped to prosper. And the same thing as I'm sharing today, I think if we'll take these things, we're going to find out some of these things were probably set up by the Lord. Because He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, He's going to show you things which must come to pass. That wasn't a promise to prophets. That was a promise to every Christian that got filled with the Holy Spirit. He will guide us and He will lead us, and He's not surprised. But the interesting thing is foreknowledge can come from other ways. For instance, China knew what was going to happen because they'd already seen it happen. They just kept it quiet from everybody else. So they used that foreknowledge to keep it quiet and then start doing things behind the scenes because they saw it as a war, and they have put themselves in a stronger position right now economically than any other country. Whether that will last or not depends on if we can stay on that knife edge I was talking about on that mountain until we can get to a safer venue. But anyway, also the Lord will lead us and He will help us because He has prepared us. I mentioned that about the 2020 vision out of 2 Chronicles 2020 and how He said, when I asked Him, was that a good word for the year? And He said, well, what have you given away? Well, it showed that we were prepared. Okay, we had been listening to the prophets. Well, 5 years ago, when Heidi Baker had the prophecy, where she had the vision, and she said, she was in America speaking, she's not in Mozambique where she lives, but she said, what I saw was, I don't want to share this, but the Lord told me I have to. I saw people, they were hungry, and they were dressed very nicely, not like in my country where they're in rags when they're hungry, but they're very nice, and they were in their SUVs, and they were in their 4x4s, and they were in their Lexus, and they were lined up, and they were coming to get food because they were hungry. And I said, Lord, how could this happen? And He said it was it happened suddenly. And I remember that, and I'm like, how could that happen? They're dressed so nice, but they still need food. And the thing is, they were in their cars going to the food bank. When have you ever heard of that? I mean, they park in the parking lot and then go into the food bank, right? But here we've seen it. People dressed nicely, that happened so quick, that they were going to the food bank and they were actually handing it to them when they had their masks on so they could have social distancing and handing it into their windows of their cars. We literally saw that come to pass. But she said in that prophecy, she says, I saw worriers becoming warriors. And that's a great word for us now because the vision was true, you can also recognize that the encouragement was true. That we should turn our worry into being warriors and recognize this is a war. The Lord will take care of us. He will walk with us. He will talk with us. Now, at the day of prayer, Pastor Paula White gave a prophetic word to the president. It was for the country, but she gave it to him. And she talked about David when he came back and he found out that the enemies had come and captured everything they had, all their family, all their children, all their wives, all their possessions, and ran off with it. And all of David's men were so mad at him, they wanted to stone him. It says he went and strengthened himself in the Lord. I mean, it's like, it wasn't his fault, but you know, sometimes you just got to get mad at somebody. That's what people in the flesh do, okay? But he inquired of the Lord and said, what should I do? And he said, pursue and you will recover all. And the word she had for the president was pursue and you will recover all. And a lot of people have been repeating that. We're going to recover all. They're forgetting it's pursue and recover all. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit and he'll be your helper. He didn't say he's going to send the Holy Spirit. It's going to be your doer. You're the doer.
That's right.
He's the helper. Amen? So we have this promise. And we can go out forward with this. And we can go out with encouragement knowing that we can recover all. There's never been a situation like this. We have entered into Great Depression territory. But it's never happened like this before, and we can come out of it just as quickly as we went into it if we'll not walk in fear, if we'll not be terrorized by the words, if we won't listen to the naysayers, but we'll listen to the words of the Lord like this, but not forget. You know, you can't just take half of it. We're going to recover all. That's okay if you proclaim that, but remember, pursue and you will recover all, okay? Haggai, I won't go through the whole thing, but you need to read Haggai because that's a word for us now. There's a time in Haggai where it's under King Cyrus when the people of God had gone back to Israel and they were supposed to be building his house, but instead they've been spending time taking care of their own houses. And so a plague came on them and he said to them, is it time for you to, and this is Haggai 1:4, is it time for you and yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple lies in ruins? Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And he talks about all the things that happen. You're putting on clothes, but you're not warm. You're eating, but you're not filled. He says, you're putting money into bags with holes. We went from the greatest economy and the most people employed in the history of our country within a few months to boom, almost Great Depression levels. Now it could be turned around, but this is the Lord trying to get our attention. Now I told you there's another side to it. There's a deep state side to it. The Lord Rothschild. Remember what I said about foreknowledge. The Rothschilds got their money because of foreknowledge. It wasn't spiritual foreknowledge, but he had spies that went and watched the Battle of Waterloo with Wellington fighting Napoleon. And they found, you know, when Wellington won, they got back to London and told Rothschild, the British won. So what he did is went in the next day to their stock market and started selling his stocks and letting the word out that Wellington had lost and Napoleon had won. And so everybody started selling their stocks like crazy. And in the afternoon, Rothschild bought them all up at bargain basement prices, and from that point forward has had more money than the nobles of England, and the king of England, and the queen, and so on. And that's what China did. China had that knowledge, let it go out, and then they started buying up. They're buying up our oil fields. They are doing now in Asia, they're doing it in a different way, Asia and Africa. They're doing it in a different way, but they're doing what Japan was doing to the smaller countries that forced us to put sanctions on them that they say forced them into starting World War II with us from the Asia. So those things are happening. We are in a war. It's going to look a little different. They found out they were building torpedoes that could go down and come up because they had found out from our trusting admirals that we were weakest in our aircraft carriers on the bottom. No torpedo hits from the bottom, so they came up with these torpedoes that could go up. But they found out they could sideline our aircraft carriers with a virus. Didn't have to fire a shot. Do you think that it didn't pay attention to that? They did. Matthew 24:24 says we have to be careful that in the last days that even the very elect are not deceived. Amen. Pay attention. Remember, I talked about this in the past and at our conference about we needed to learn to do warfare through rest so that we didn't get weary in well-doing. So I'll end with that. We want to pay attention to what God's saying, but also be encouraged. Even if you don't realize it, if you're paying attention to His words, He's preparing you for things that are to come, and you'll be ready for them because the sons of God are led of the Spirit of God. So let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share this and that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and that we don't have to trust in chariots, but we can put our trust in the Lord. But we also know that we must do something, we must pursue, but if we do, we will recover all. And that, Lord, this battle is a spiritual battle. And thank you for leaders that are waking up and recognizing that it's a spiritual battle. And some have taken this power. And they've just allowed it to become like a drug to them, and they don't want to give it up. Others learn from their mistakes and have released the authority back to the people where it belongs. And they have learned from that. So in the future, when this happens again, they won't be so quick to follow the model of the tyrant. So I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for our nation. Lord, and I pray for our leaders, and I pray for our president, Lord, to give them grace, to give them wisdom. Lord, I pray for the church leaders, Lord, to give them wisdom and strength and power and courage. Lord, in Revelation it says, the first ones to be thrown into the lake of fire are those that are cowardly. We certainly want to have authority and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and that we will run and do exploits like it says in Daniel. So thank you for that Spirit of God that's been put in us, that we not fear, but that we have power and might and a sound mind, that we can stand, that we can have that same spirit that worked within Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they said, well, Lord, King, we recognize your authority, but we're not going to bow down to your illegal edicts. And like Daniel, who said, well, you know, I know you passed a rule that I'm not allowed to worship the way I did, but I'm going to worship the way I did. And you stood with them. And give us that strength to stand up for what's right. And Lord, knowing that your angels are about and that they're not going to be surprised by any of this. And you're not surprised by any of this. And we can trust in you, knowing that you've prepared our way, that you've never seen your seed forsaken or begging bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network. For further information, contact us at P.O. Box 113, Missoula, Montana 59803. Our email address is flintnet@flintnet.org. Our website is www.flintnet.org.